Hey, Captain!
Sean, what are you doing on Just Another Review podcast?
Damn, you got me. Okay, Cap, I heard it on the audio boom, and I picked up Russ.
Hey, email us at jerkpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, quiet. Let me take the lead on this.
You can't. You're not right for it.
Come on, Captain. I can do this, and with...
I can't risk it, Sean. The market's saturated enough. We need a ringer.
A ringer?
Jarp Podcast. Instagram, jarp_podcast.
Whoa,
Instagram.
Wait, who? Who?
Joanna Robinson, Andrew Santino. I don't know anyone.
What if I just start the podcast before anybody else gets here?
Okay. The podcast reviews the first episode of a TV series and then pairs it with a movie from the 80s or 90s. It's best that people watch the episode first before listening to the podcast, but whatever. Yeah. Just hit the beats. Nothing more. This is not your podcast. Do you understand?
I gotcha. Copy. I'm out.
Welcome back, everyone. We've been delayed. We've been on holidays. We've been.
Who are you? We've been sick.
My name is Russ. This is
I've had some health issues.
This is,
but we're all good now.
Your name is
Shane.
This is Russ and Shane on Just Another Review podcast. We've been. I had COVID.
Russ got COVID. I got hemorrhoids, and
we both were away on holidays.
Yeah,
spring
we had family
break.
Coming, so we apologize.
We've been off for a while, everybody.
Yeah, nope. But we're back.
We're back, and you know what? We're
back. That's where we
baby. We're back.
That. We're back.
We're looking at the show, The After Party, on Apple Plus. Who's in it?
Who is in it?
Who is in it? Well, Tiffany Haddish is in it as the detector.
As the protector of women.
As Detective Danner. You may recognize Queen, her from Queen of Whatever Wanna Be.
She was in the Lego 2 movie.
Yeah. She was the Queen Whatever
she was a voice.
Wanna Be. Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish.
That's right.
Right. And she likes men slapping other men for their wives. Right.
Okay.
We'll leave that. I'll cut that out.
She did come in defense of Will Smith.
She did. She defended. She likes. She's a Will Smith fan.
Okay,
but that's okay. We won't hold it against her.
Probably a lot of Will Smith
but
fans.
But we will.
Sam Richardson is also in this show as Anik. You may recognize the hilarious Sam Richardson from the Detroiters or Promising Young Women or Veep.
And he makes some small appearances in I Think You Should Leave. One of my favorite sketch comedy shows.
So, and I don't know if I've told you this, but Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson are in a 2-season show called The Detroiters.
Yeah, I
have
did.
Have you watched it yet?
You did mention that
long,
it was probably JARP. JARP.
JARP 2006.
Episode 6, I'm going to guess. Yeah. No, maybe not that far back. But yeah, and then I did watch a episode of it, but unfortunately, I don't think it was bad, but it just didn't engage me as much as the I Think You Should Leave. I probably turned it off and went back and rewatched I Think You Should Leave season 1 and 2, which I've probably watched about 3 or 4 times now. Oh, it's just so
can you watch
funny.
It back to back, or do you, or is it was hard for me to handle, although I love him, Tim Robinson back to back.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Like,
no,
I need to take a breath of air.
I think I watched.
No.
Right. Yeah, no, I couldn't stop. No, I know. And I can see what you're saying, but I think his humor is right up my alley.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Zoe Chow is in this as Zoe.
Yeah, she
to
gets
me,
to keep her own name. That's kind of cool.
That's fun.
Like, she doesn't get confused on set or anything like that.
Yeah, do you mean me or my character?
Yeah, exactly.
To me, Zoe was the VIP of the episode. I don't know her very well as an actor, but I really enjoyed her. She was in the film Downhill. Did you see that, Will Ferrell? Downhill?
No, I didn't. Is that the one where he's kind of goes crazy and he sells all his stuff on the lawn?
No, that's not the one. Oh. This is the one. It's more recent.
It was
based off a European film of the and they're up at a ski hill
with what's her face from who used to be Tina Fey?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's the girl from, it's the lady from Seinfeld.
Oh, right.
Juliette Louise Dreyfus.
Sorry, Tina Fey.
It's okay.
Sorry, Juliette Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
I think they're both great people, so it's fine to
do you think they listened to this podcast and they were offended?
I think Tina might.
Okay.
Also, Ink Barinholtz is in this.
Ink?
Is Brett.
His name's Ike. Ike. There's no N.
Ink Pink, you stink.
Inky Berhoffowitz. Ike.
Ink,
Russ.
Ike.
Ike.
Ike. Mike. Spike and Ike's.
Ike, the Hunt. And the
blockers.
But before blockers, there's a little icon of a rooster, or nicknamed cock. a short cock. So I think
there's
that move.
Short cock?
That's what she said. No, on the blockers, there's a picture of like a rooster, okay. like
on the poster,
or a
on the
chicken, you know, like a cock, like
okay,
a cock
blockers.
So I think the movie's actually called Cock Blockers, but they couldn't actually spell it out. So they use a little image of a chicken in front of the blockers.
Son of a.
Yeah, go look at that up.
Also, who's in it? The very funny Ben Schwartz as Jasper.
Wait, let's go back to Ike for a second. Ike, he's really. Have you seen the Neighbors? Neighbors with Seth Rogen and.
Oh God. I mean, I think I did, but I.
High School Musical. What's his name?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Anyways, Ike's in that, and he's hilarious in Neighbors. Oh yeah, he's just. Off the rails. He's in Neighbors 2, I think, as well.
And Neighbors 2 is worse than Neighbors, wasn't it?
I found them both really, really funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Simple premise. What if Seth Rogen and his wife moved in beside a frat house? Is that the premise?
The frat house moved in beside them. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. They were there first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
The wife is Rose McGowan. What am I thinking?
Not Rose McGowan. I don't know.
Jesus. Anyways, I'm feeling really bad that we're not remembering anybody's name. So
anyways,
let's keep moving.
We were supposed to keep this tight, and I've totally derailed everything so far.
Ben Schwartz as Jasper. Ben, you love him.
John Ralphio, man.
John Ralphio, House of Lies, Middleditch and Schwartz. Great. He's very funny. Alana Glazier as Chelsea. She. Have you seen Broad City?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, you
sure.
See
she looks. Familiar though, so like I've seen her in stuff somewhere,
yeah.
But I have not seen Broad City, she must be in other things.
Jamie Demetrio, as Walt, he's from the Academy Award winning Cruella and Paddington 2 and Fleabag. He's like kind of British comedian. Dave Franco's in here as Xavier, as the murdered victim. And that's not a spoiler, you see that within the first couple minutes, here.
Right?
Dave Franco has a brother. But Dave Franco is also in movies such as The Disaster Artist, 21 Jump Street.
Thanks to his brother.
And the Now You See Me franchise. That's a franchise.
He is quite funny, though. And again, Dave Franco is in the movie Neighbors, which I just mentioned with. Oh. Now it's killing me. Who's the High School Musical guy? Come on. He's actually quite funny.
Of course. He's in a Netflix show where he goes around the world.
Zac Efron. Zac Efron. There we go.
Yeah.
I actually find Zac Efron quite funny.
He is quite funny. He's
what's
charming.
That one? The wedding one he's in.
Wedding Singers.
No, not Wedding Singers. Is it? Not Wedding Singers.
The Wedding Singer. I'm mixing like the Wedding Singers with the Wedding Crashers.
Not Wedding Crashers either. I'll come back to it, but it's really
Mirror's
funny.
Wedding.
My fat Greek wedding.
My big fat Greek wedding. Zac Efron was 4. And last but not least, John. Early as Detective Culp. Sean, you'll remember John from your favorite show, Search Party.
Mm. No, I did not enjoy that one, Russell.
Okay, well, you gave up pretty early, so...
Hang on. I'm still looking for the Zac...
The Wedding, the Zac Efron.
No.
Oh, you know what it is? It's like Kumon...
Buddy and Buddy go to a wedding date or something like that.
Yes, it's Jack and Nora get married or something like that. It's like he has to bring wedding dates. Him and the guy from...
Mike and Dave need wedding dates. Mike that's and, it.
Yeah,
that's oh, right. That movie is really funny. That really funny. And yeah, it's not a lot of buzz on that movie when it was out, but I saw it and like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny.
So Kumail Nanjiani is on that in that movie, and he has a hilarious scene where he like gets down naked and he has to like massage like the bride, I guess, to relax her. It was pretty funny. I remember that. That's what I remember. And I'm probably... Am I mispronouncing Kumail?
Sam Richardson's actually in that movie. He is the groom in Dave and Mike Need Wedding Dates. Actually, it's quite funny.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Look at all these actors intermingling with each other throughout
their
career.
They do, yeah. And then, you know, what's the common denominator? It always turns out they seem to be making some quality stuff together, right?
Who made this, Sean? And speaking of funny, it's Christopher Miller.
Is he funny?
Dude, Christopher Miller makes some great stuff. He usually teams up with as Miller and Lord, but they're responsible for Lego Movie, 21 Jump Street, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and they were going to do Solo.
They got fired, you say?
Well, they got replaced, I think. What's his face came in?
Ron Howard. Ronnie.
And imagine if Solo was done by Lord Miller, it probably would have been 30 million times better than what it was. I didn't mind Solo, but I think I would have loved it if it was a Lord Miller
production. One of my least favorite Star Wars canon fodder thingies.
Yep. Not Rogue One. It's not.
You didn't like Rogue One?
No, I loved Rogue
One. Oh, I thought Rogue One was really good. Not my favorite, but it's man, favorite. Such a nice, mature change of pace in the Star Wars universe.
Just didn't have to have a Skywalker in it.
Oh, and the female lead. I mean, come on.
Come on now.
She was great.
Come on.
She was great.
Come on now.
She was great.
She was a lovely.
She was great.
This is, let me tell you, we've only watched one episode of Search Party. Oh, man.
After Party. Yeah. After Party. Yeah, After Party, Search Party.
But there are 8 episodes altogether, so I can't wait to.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been 6 weeks at least since I watched. And we were supposed I've been good. I haven't watched episode 2, but I've, I guess, kind of semi-spoiler word, I've been wanting to.
You've been wanting to.
But I didn't. Mm-hmm. But I didn't.
I think as like people who enjoy films too, and like a film student such as yourself, I think you would appreciate the genre aspect of this, like them having fun with different genres.
The whodunit?
Well, not only the whodunit mystery of the whole show, but the fact that they're looking, everyone's perspective, everyone's story is done within a genre film. In this show.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I got to go to episode 2 to even know that. How'd you know that?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? Like everyone's perspective is a different genre of a movie.
Oh, because
I don't understand.
Okay, so you pretty much get that. You understand that from the first episode, no? There's the Tiffany Haddish as a detective talks to two people, two suspects. One is like the girl. I can't remember what her name was in the show, but she tells a quick story, and hers is in like a art house film style, her story. And then she asks Sam Richardson's character Anik what his perspective is, and his is in a romantic comedy. So throughout the series of the show, she's going to interview each suspect, and they're going to tell their perspective of the story.
And you think that it's going to be kind of a different genre of movie, or you know this
already. I feel like I know this. I feel like I must have, but I don't think I did that by cheating. I just did that by how they've.
I don't think you cheat. I just think you're a shit ton smarter than I am. Well, there's the swear jar.
Every time
we made it went pretty Sean's good without swearing. I actually kind of did that on purpose just so that we could mention.
And I think I put it together also because each episode title is a character, is a suspect.
Okay, again, I didn't cheat and go look at what episode 2 is called. Right
there in front of you.
Okay, like, well, what's this one called?
One's called Anik. Directed by Christopher Miller.
Right, because every episode is a different character.
Right.
I saw that, and I was like, okay, well, yeah, she interviews someone different every episode. I got that. But I didn't quite catch on that with the anticipation that everyone might have a... Because, one guy might... You're saying one guy's might be a horror movie?
Right. One guy might... Well, an action adventure? Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Well, because she talks about... Like, she kind of gets in the whole, like, I want you to tell me your story. Like, she... like, Tiffany Haskell.
She's, like, getting off on it.
Yeah,
like,
she loves this.
Yeah,
she loves
this. She just wants... Stuff. She wants to... She's, like, the drama gossip queen, you know, in school who just like to...
She's just here for the drama.
Well, let's get into it then. I think,
you know... Do you want me to read my synopsis?
I do.
At a party after a 15-year high school reunion, graduate and pop star actor Xavier is murdered.
I'm Xavier.
Police arrive, and Detective Danner, although not in charge, attempts to solve the crime before the real case detective arrives in the morning.
I got a little bit of time.
She interviews the suspects to get an idea of their unique perspective, and their unique perspectives are told in different styles of film and television.
Because Russ cheated.
We get a snippet of what Indio... Oh, there you go.
She's the arty one.
Do you think it's Indio or Indigo?
Indigo. I'm looking at Indigo.
Okay.
No worries.
Okay. Through the lens of an art film, which she saw points Detective Danner towards Anik, the title of the episode, by the way, and she takes him to another room for an interrogation. Anik tells a story in the style of a romantic comedy. His story involves a goofy best friend, Jasper, and longtime crush, Zoe, who has recently divorced her high school boyfriend, Brett.
Played by Ink.
Anik and Zoe flirt throughout the evening at the reunion, but are separated by cock blocking.
That's a movie.
Pop star Xavier. We end up back at Xavier's house for an after party, and Anik finally gets the courage to confront Xavier. He goes up to the pop star's bedroom. At the same moment, Xavier falls off his bedroom balcony and to his death. crash, random happenstance, or did Anik murder Xavier? Who knows? We've got a whole season to go. This is the after party.
That's great. Yeah. That was really good.
Thank you. I appreciate your little interjecting.
Inserts? Yeah, I'm just trying to be you.
I enjoy That's what I like to do. I like to interject.
I like to say jokes behind, and hopefully Sean doesn't hear half of them till he's actually editing the show.
Do you enjoy that?
I do. It's funny because sometimes I'll be like doing things and not actually listening to what you're saying, which is a lot of time. Yeah. And then when I go and actually edit this, then I hear these little quirps every now and then, and I laugh because I didn't hear it during the time.
There you go.
You know, it's like I'm an audience member for the first time.
Right. And you're ignorant to what I'm doing in the background.
For the most part.
But yeah. I'm listening to you, by the way.
That's good. That's how you have a conversation, by listening.
Just letting Sean talk.
Anyways, we've already kind of talked about the show a little bit before you even did your synopsis. So obviously we both really enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things.
Zoe is the breakout character for me. I mentioned that. I really enjoyed the chemistry of Zoe and Anik. I just love Sam Richardson and Ben Schwartz too.
For sure.
Like, I feel like any show that with these guys in it, I'd watch.
Let's be honest, the casting on the show is great. It's kind of like, how do you, there's comedy gold in all this. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you about Anik and Zoe's seem to have a genuine friendship. Yeah, you sneaky little mother flubber.
Oh, flubber.
I don't know.
Do you like that show?
Flubber? No, yeah. I've never seen it.
Oh.
I thought I would get upset when I watched Robin.
Flubber?
To be honest, I haven't watched a Robin Williams movie since he passed away.
Okay.
Because I thought I would kind of get upset. Mm-hmm. But we watched Mrs. Doubtfire last weekend.
It's not a good movie. Maybe you should watch a good Robin Williams
movie. Yeah. It wasn't as good as I remembered it being. No. Doesn't hold up as well.
No. I've heard it being described as a horror movie now.
Oh, really? It, you know, I guess when you look deep into it, like what this ex-husband did to get back into his family's life by,
I think people have creepy. People have maybe edited it into like a horror trailer.
Yeah, you've seen those. Yeah. But no, I was able to handle it. I have no idea where I was going with this.
I like Robin Williams as a serious actor.
Right. Like, what was that one?
Good Will Hunting, Awakenings.
Photo. What was the photo?
Photo Booth.
Photo Booth?
Oh, Photo Lab. I don't remember.
The Lab Photo Boy.
Yeah, he was like a lab.
Lab technician. Yeah, he was a photo technician. And he was kind of creepy.
He was
in
that Christopher Nolan one with Robert De Niro.
Insomnia.
Al Pacino. Insomnia.
I don't remember that one because I fell asleep in the theater watching it.
What?
Yeah,
isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
Yeah, it's like rain.
On my wedding day. Mm. That's fun.
That was really good that we were able to do that right there.
Well, we're Atlantis fans for Canadians, and therefore we have to remember O Canada and every song from Jagged Little Pill.
Who?
Jagged Little Pill is Alanis.
Oh, Jagged Little Pill. I thought that I didn't quite hear that, and I thought that was
it.
Someone's name.
Maybe you shouldn't really mumble.
maybe I should actually listen to you.
Or that Johnny Depp when he did Willy Wonka, and he thought every kid was mumbling, or that's how he would like. Well, you really shouldn't mumble. I can't hear you. That's how we'd ignore their pleas of help. I think you're right. I guess with Lord and Miller's, specifically Christopher Miller's reputation, I'm sure all these comedians were willing to work with him and come together. Because yeah, you're right. It's a star-studded cast here.
How much of this do you think was improvised?
Ooh, I bet you they improvised.
I bet a ton. I bet, you know, they thankfully in the age of digital filmmaking now, they can, you know, keep the cameras rolling for a lot cheaper than they could in the past. So you know, I'm sure there was multiple takes. That would have been tough for the editor. I'm sure the director was sitting with them, you
and
know, helping them decide. But
they
but man, oh, I can imagine.
Do you have sympathy for editors?
Yes. Yeah, lots of sympathy for editors.
As an editor yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, you get lots of good, but you also have to make lots of tough choices, and it's
you get some good, you get some bad.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else before we get into predictions here? Anything else from your
You know, I mean, I think we touched base kind of just on the star power, mm-hmm. you know, when you kind of we kind of touched base on everybody individually mm-hmm. when you were listing off the cast. You know, I've got notes that Dave Franco was really good in this. His passive aggressiveness was quite funny and all that. Trying to think, did we have anybody from our high school that would have been sort of like this Xavier school? Caliber? Did anybody go off to fame and fortune from our high school class?
Well, there was a gentleman who is no longer with us. And sorry, this is a sad story.
Oh, someone that's passed away?
Yeah, he was on like Oprah. He was like a male model and he graduated with us. I don't know any more than that.
You don't remember his name?
I don't remember his name. I don't think I was friends with him. He was too cool for me. But he was a good looking, tall gentleman and he became like a really famous male model. And then he ended up committing suicide, I believe.
Oh, geez Louise.
And if anyone has more information, no, we'll just do some research off mic here. But yeah. I think that's it. I mean, obviously we've probably got successful people that have graduated with us, but I don't know if there's anyone.
I think Alexis was on Geraldo, but,
really?
Yeah. Some sort of like white trash sort of episode.
Sorry, Alexis.
No. Like Geraldo, you know, the white trash show, you know, where they would bring on,
yes,
you know,
you
stole my sister's boyfriends. It was, okay. But it was.
Aren't you implying that Alexis is white trash with this story?
No.
She was the diamond in the rough.
Yeah. Okay. She was, you know, the one diamond Geraldo episode,
right.
You know, that he was probably nominated for an Emmy for,
right.
And, you know, because it was just mind-boggling journalism.
And why? What was the story there? What was the?
I think it was I slept with my cousin, and now I'm pregnant.
No, it wasn't.
No idea. Oh. It was probably like, I don't know. I blew every guy in high school, now my jaw hurts. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. Jesus. I'm not gonna go into anything more.
Yeah, you please don't.
Shit. Now I gotta edit that out. Anik and Zoe. I'm reading this off like a note. I don't know why I'm reading anything here. Okay. I've already done that.
All right.
Oh, our own reunions.
Yeah.
What about our own reunions?
So
we've had two so far.
We graduated in 1996. We've had two reunions.
Hey, was it the same year that this show? When did this? These...
No, it was 2006. So but you know what? Who's aligned with us is the
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which My is bad. Cool. It's been a while since I watched
it's
the episode.
Been a while.
I thought it was 96, but no, it was 2006.
That's right.
Okay.
So 10 years ago.
So we've had two.
We've had two. One was in a golf course and it was one and somebody punched somebody else.
Yeah, Earl Ross punched Randy Jatou,
right.
And Stuart Curry, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Randy Jatou, the nicest dude in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously he wasn't aiming for Randy. Would he have been?
I don't know I don't know the story. Yeah, yeah. Knowing Randy, he probably made some lighthearted joke or something, right. And then this hothead just thought it was cool to throw fists.
Yeah,
And
of course,
he's a reformed Jehovah Witness now. So
okay, good.
This bully has supposedly found the error of their ways and is living a better life. I don't know if
news story.
I don't know if being a Jehovah Witness automatically means that, but
it could
heard the rumor. The person has sort of found peace, but I don't know. I don't know.
Good. Well, I hope he has.
I hope they have.
Yes. It was an unfortunate incident, but it was after the fact. It was kind of funny. And then
nobody got seriously hurt.
No one got hurt making
egos.
The reunion. But then in our 20-year reunion, it was at a pub and it was really loud and I couldn't hear. And then I thought, I'm too old for this shit. And I don't know if there ever be another one. There definitely wasn't a 25th, because there could have been probably a 25th reunion.
Probably. I don't know. COVID. Maybe there'll be something small for our 30th.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Would you go now?
I don't think
after having been to the last two, would you go to a third?
I don't think so. I think I'm done.
Yeah.
I think I had my time. Did you have your time?
I did. I had a really good time at both, and both I was hesitant to go to.
Right.
So if I have any word of advice for people that are kind of humming and hawing about going to their high school reunions, just go.
Yeah.
If it sucks, you can leave. But if it's good and you didn't go, you'll miss out in sort of a once-in-a-lifetime event. So just go. Suck it up. Who cares what anybody thinks? Who cares about high school?
Everyone that's willing to go to a high school reunion is probably in the same boat as you are.
They're exactly. Whatever. And if you think, exactly. If you think you're a little bit anxious, I'm sure everybody's a little bit anxious to go back and see people and all that. But you know what? After you get that one or two drinks into you, they end up, you know, you end up seeing some old friends. It's great.
Did you hear that, Matt? Maybe you should go to a high
school reunion. Maybe you should have come, Matt. Matt was mad at you for something. not mad at you, but he says
No. Last night?
No, something about Jarp a couple episodes again. You made some comment about him and it was inaccurate. And now he's got some fighting words for you. I don't know what that is. Maybe I think he said he's going to kick you.
Can we give him a call? Can we call him up?
Right now?
Sure, yeah.
We could try.
Okay.
Let me see.
We can edit this out.
Oh, yeah. I guess WhatsApp doesn't want to have no answering. Matt.
Sean.
Hey. We're doing... Hey. You're on a Just Another Review podcast right now. And I'm giving you your opportunity to tell Russ that little message that you wanted me to tell. I forgot the details, but we thought we'd call you up, and you could give him shit right on the phone here right now. So the mic is yours.
I'm so nervous. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
I can hear you in that bullshit tone in your voice again. Okay, so you guys did the I forgot the name of the show. What's the name of the show? The Arrow guy?
Hawkeye.
So the Hawkeye show.
Oh yeah.
I
told you were stupid.
I mean, it's simple. There was not much to it. It was just kind of like put this on, watch it, and me and the boys can kind of watch it. My sons can watch it together.
Yeah.
And easy peasy thing to kind of watch.
Right.
And it was too easy peasy, I think, for you guys, that you didn't want to see it again. But my thought, after Russ told me that my idea sucked and I shouldn't ever express myself again on a snow day with the family, was that I think it's a good jump-in spot, right? I mean, we've got 20 years or something ridiculous of all these MCU shows.
Right.
So for someone to jump in who's 9, like, how are they supposed to figure this out? Like, give them a new character. Sort of an original story, right? So let's
right. You were your argument was that it was actually a good show, and it was a good way for new people who weren't used to the Marvel universe to get into it without having to go back and watch all the movies. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a fine jump in spot. Yeah, I think it's like a 3-jarper, right? That's where I am with that one.
So you're giving both of us kind of crap for that, for not liking it, not just Russ.
Well,
but I'd like you to maybe direct your stuff towards Russ, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I prefer to do that. Perfect. That's cool with everyone.
Yeah, that's cool with me.
It's cool with me, yeah.
No, I mean, I remember Russ, while we're spending time with our family, very cowardly, not having a rebuttal towards me, and then saving it to go online for the masses. So that was...
That's kind of cowardly of him, eh? Not to say it to your face.
Cowardly. Yeah. Pretty cowardly.
Anyways, okay, well, thanks for joining us on Just Another Review podcast, Matt. Predictions.
Predictions. Okay, so here we go. This is a murder mystery. So who did it? Who done it? Did Chelsea do it? Did Zoe do it? Did Jasper do it? Those are my three top suspects.
Chelsea,
Zoe, and Jasper. I think, in this moment,
yeah,
I think it's Zoe.
I'm kind of with you there on the Zoe because she's right now, she's the least likeliest,
right?
And that's always what it is. It's always the person you least suspect, kind of the one in the background that you're not thinking about. So I think in that sense,
what we're seeing in this episode is we're seeing Anik's perspective of her too,
right? So maybe she's not as innocent as we think,
yeah,
right?
She's
maybe
not as charming,
and especially I think that'll come into fruition when we go to Inks, Brett's Ike's one. I think he'll have a crazy. I can't wait for his.
I think his is next.
Okay, yeah, I think so too. I think it's gonna be severely skewed into his favor. Yeah. He's going to be some sort of superhero.
Yeah, because I bet you he's just upset because his relationship with Zoe is coming to an end. Like, he's a father. He's getting divorced. He's upset. He's coming across as maybe a little bit aggressive, but maybe it's just because he's very sad. The interesting ones of Chelsea, there are some things that are dropped in this first episode about Chelsea, the one being that she's gone from the class pres to the hot mess. And she's got a bottle of alcohol that wasn't meant for Anik. And when Anik drinks from it, this is where he passes out.
Yeah, I was going to say, how does Anik get so messed up? Like, because he had a weed gummy and all this.
A lot.
But yeah, but then he took a swig of her
right.
concoction, and she kind of gave him a little look like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like, so there's something. So
it's possible that there's some sort of, like.
Maybe he's just got, like, liquid psychedelic in there or something. I don't know.
Hi, Jesse. Oh. How are you? Okay.
Okay, yeah, we're halfway done. Are you okay? Okay.
Thanks, Jesse.
That was my daughter. Just checking, making sure that the podcast is going well.
And I gave her a thumbs up.
Whee!
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah, so there was something non-alcoholic but intoxicating within that flask. Right. I don't know. Or just moonshine. I don't know.
So to me, that's going to be, I mean, and I didn't catch it really the first time around. Because,
yeah, me neither.
But the second time I watched the show, I'm like, oh, I should pay attention to this. Whether it's a red herring or not, I'm not sure. But seems significant. Something's going on. And at one point, she comes into the hallway when Anik and Zoe are trying to get away. And she's like, I need to tell you something. But she's so overwhelming and kind of a loose cannon that they're kind of like, yeah, okay, we're going to go. For me, there's a connection between Zoe and Chelsea. Something's going on. So maybe it's a double. There's two murderers here.
Crazy. Let's rate this.
Okay.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
Okay, here's a rating system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We give it 5. We don't believe in zeros. We like to give people at least 1 for their hard work. 5 means it's the greatest episode ever. 1 means, yeah, it could use some more work. I don't know how Russ does it, but I do 2.5 is about middle ground, obviously. 2.5 is right in the middle between 0 and 5, right?
Right, it's I think that's a fair
statement. So anything above 2.5 I think is above average. Anything below is below average. That's how I do it. Russ does it differently. Russ,
do I?
Tell us. I don't know if Russ does
I'm not going to argue with your math, but I am going to say I gave this episode a 4, nice. This series of 4. I'm very excited to continue watching it, like we mentioned already.
Woohoo, something to do tonight, eh?
Yay. I love the murder mystery genre. I love the mixing of other film and television genres. I love saying the word genre. and yeah, I love all these comedians. It's just amazing.
You know, what is this, our 28th episode now? And we've come close before, but I don't think we've ever been completely aligned exact same ratings too often. It has happened, but now I'd like to let you know that it has happened again. I give this a 4 as well.
I'm going
to
write my mom.
Yeah, please write your mom.
Okay.
I was engaged the whole time, and even on the second watch, I was enjoying it almost the same as the first viewing. Great ensemble of comedic actors, and I like the new age twist on the old Clue game. You know, the whodunit, right?
Whodunit.
Yeah. Production quality was top-notch. Nothing extravagant from a cinematography perspective, but it was still nicely put together. But the old soundtrack was a great nostalgic throwback for me. All the early 2000s. Songs that they were playing. I'm excited to finally be able to continue on and find out who the real murderer is. Ooh. So yeah, this is a good show. This is fun.
This is a fun show.
Did we even say that it was on Apple TV?
Yes, I did originally.
Okay. I just wasn't listening.
Let's say it again.
It's on Apple TV.
All right. So I might have said Apple Plus because I think everything is called Apple something Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's not, you know, there's Disney Plus, there's Apple Netflix Plus, there's Prime Amazon Plus. Prime Plus. So it's quite possible I said Apple Plus.
Right.
And that's fun because I'm an idiot.
Apple plus Apple is two apples.
Wait.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is the part where we go back and we just talk about shows that we previously reviewed and if we finished them off and whether they kind of either stuck with the good rating we gave them or the poor rating we gave them.
Right.
Peacemaker's all done. I feel like we discussed Peacemaker in the Archive 81. We might have. It's done.
It's over. It's a great show.
It was fun.
It was great.
I'll stick one of by my rating. I think
superhero
I,
shows.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Really, I'm not gonna knock it, but I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you did. But it was silly.
Way better than Hawkeye, he's idiot, man.
Those are fighting words now. Yeah. Oh, okay, now tell us about this Archive 81.
Archive 81. So I think I've watched maybe two or three episodes.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. It's definitely not making me want to go back, but I will complete it. I'm a completist.
Have you got any answers yet? Can you spoil anything for us?
Okay, spoilers for Archive 81. Definitely he is moving within the world, like the worlds are meshing. So the world of the videotapes and his world. So he's kind of actually able to visit the world of the videotapes now.
How?
Again, I don't know. Again, this could be there was that.
Does he kind of teleport there while he's watching them?
He the whole house, that house that he's kind of in isolation, it's kind of like now because of maybe the loneliness, he's like walking through the hallway and suddenly he's in the hallway of the apartment building within the videotape. And so there's the it's like meshing the two worlds, and this could be a supernatural aspects, or it could be his
he's just losing
mental
his
health
mind.
Stuff, losing his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, that's interesting that they brought in the mental illness aspect to it now, so that when they do something like this, it makes the audience question whether right.
what's
you know,
true, what's yeah, real, what's not.
Yeah. So it's got a bunch of things.
So yeah, I'll get through it and I'll keep you updated to tell you how it ends.
Cool. I got.
Oh, what?
Well, I've got no.
You've got no.
No, I finished Peacemaker, and you said you'd do Archive 81, because so I handed
no
that
homework.
Off to you. So I'm not working on anything.
Yeah, good.
So I got nothing.
Good.
Got nothing. Media Rewind. Media Rewind. You want to take this over, Russ?
Sure. Okay. And the laptop I'm using, I can't see any of the text, but I can, except for the first couple lines, so I apologize. Okay, here we go.
Hang on.
Sean pressed the refresh button for me.
Refresh.
And it
refresh.
Changed my life.
Change your life.
Media Rewind, that's when we pair this first episode of The Search.
Oh, After Party,
here we
Russell.
Go. Here we go. Media Rewind, this is where we pair our first episode of The After Party on Apple with a movie from our childhood. And that movie is The Usual Suspects, also a whodunit.
Mm.
This is the 1991. Oh, my gosh. This is the 1995. Bryan Singer production, starring lots of fun, no-nonsense actors like Kevin Spacey.
No-nonsense.
No-nonsense, Kaiser Soze. I hadn't watched this for a long time, and I was happy that I rewatched it.
I
enjoyed it
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felt it held up even, and I was engaged even though I knew the story and I knew the ending, but yet I was still wanted to watch the movie.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend going back. Bryan Singer is definitely not, someone that the industry is looking on very fondly with his controversy with Bohemian Rhapsody and just some civil lawsuits against sexual.
What was his controversy in Bohemian?
So he was fired from that film. And so I think.
Why was he fired?
Why? Because of the lawsuits that were coming against
sexual
him for
assault.
Sexual assault. And it sounds like he has a long history of doing that.
He's kind of sick, isn't
yeah.
he?
So, which is unfortunate because then you pair him with a movie like this with Kevin Spacey, who's also in a similar scenario. You kind of think, oh, well, this movie kind of really isn't something I want to go back to or I want to support, but kind of ignore the Bryan Singer, Kevin Spacey being terrible people. This film is actually still pretty good.
Can you do that though? Can you go back and watch Kevin Spacey without some sort of underlying thoughts about the trouble he's
so
gotten
here's
into,
the thing I could
drama,
not watch Baby Driver because he was icking me out.
Right.
The whole time. And maybe because it was too fresh as far as like his demise, but I just couldn't get into Baby Driver.
And a little bit more current, right?
Yeah. And a little bit more current. Yeah, exactly. And maybe when he's playing a good guy, that's what really bothers me. But when he plays an evil dude, I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, I get that.
Right.
Like,
that's fitting of Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I can watch Seven. I can watch this movie and know that. Yeah, you're right. The bad guy really in disguise is Kevin Spacey. That's in real life and in this movie.
Yeah. Hey.
But it does have
foreshadowing,
Yeah, exactly. It does have Benicio del Toro in here.
Fantastic.
Which is amazing.
I was going to say, I think he died too quick in the spoiler.
Oh,
come on. I mean, it's 90. If you haven't seen this movie by now, you're not much of a cinephile and whatever.
He's the runaway hit of this. And they were able to, like, I think, evolve his character as they were shooting it.
Mm. You don't think he had that much? And then his acting.
His
and
approach
chops,
to the character.
Right.
And
they were able to flesh it out a little bit more than maybe it was in the script. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think
he got lots of recognition for this role, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he didn't win an Oscar, but did he get a nod for this one?
Quite possibly did.
I think he got a Golden Globe.
Quite possibly.
For supporting for this one. I'm not sure. You talk, I'll look it up.
Okay. Again, interesting to see where these where the players have gone from. You've got it written by Christopher McGuire, and Christopher is also the writer-director of the Mission Impossible, the more recent Mission Impossible movie, so he's a big collaborator with the Tom Cruise, and he's and you also see that with his involvement with Edge of Tomorrow and the Top Gun Maverick. Have you heard of a sequel to Top Gun?
yeah. Just watch. It's going to get delayed again.
Yeah. So the one
that... I know Tom Cruise is batshit crazy, but...
But a very good filmmaker.
Yeah. Let's be honest. The guy's very dedicated to making his movies. He has a certain quality mark that he likes to hit and doesn't do anything less. You know, you might not enjoy the story, but you can certainly say that Tom Cruise movies have a certain very high quality to them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do enjoy
movies. personal, you know, he's a little crazy in the whole Scientology thing, but yeah, the guy makes good movies. I mean, Oblivion, I really like. I don't think a lot of people like that, but
yeah, I
quite liked Oblivion.
Edge of Tomorrow,
fantastic. They're making a sequel, so let's hope good things for that one. And just what I was getting at, the visuals in the trailer for this movie, Maverick, like un-fucking real.
Oh, I bet you it'll be good.
Oh. Like I just want to see it for that. I just want to see some real life jet fighters.
There is a
doing
new
some
trailer
crazy stuff
that kind of inserts a little bit of Val Kilmer in it, and
they tie in Val Kilmer's storyline,
the son of Goose, or whatever.
I don't think Val Kilmer's actually in it, but they get his storyline
right
in it. He recommends that Maverick be train these fighter pilots, I guess, like that. So yeah,
right. Cool.
Yeah. Back to Usual Suspects. It was good. It held up. The acting was great. Stephen Baldwin, I think this was his only good last good role.
I
don't know
anything else he was in.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of his brothers have done some good things. Even Billy Baldwin, who you don't see anymore, was in things such the like of, you know, Flatliners, right, and Backdraft, you know, movies.
I think Alec was in a film.
I don't know. Yeah, some Western film.
Oh, come on.
And but Stephen Baldwin, what else was he in? Biodome, I think, with Pauly Shore.
And supposedly Stephen was a kind of a dick on set, and he would like bully other cast members. Like, he did not have a good relationship with Kevin Pollak, who I think maybe later on in their lives they kind of fixed up that relationship, but not a good... Stephen maybe just kind
of... Yeah, I heard that too, I think, somewhere. He's a bit of a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he almost kind of, like, tried to physically intimidate people.
Which is...
too bad.
Yeah. Trivia from Internet Movie Database is in the lineup scene, the most iconic, famous lineup scene, Benicio Del Toro farted 12 times.
Yeah, supposedly that's what all the laughing was about. And supposedly it just drove Bryan Singer nuts.
Right.
Supposedly he was just livid that they couldn't collect themselves. And
of course it makes into the film. Because
yeah, of course. Yeah. So who was in the right? Who was in the wrong? Bryan, sometimes let your actors just express themselves. You know, you never know what other people might bring to the table, Bryan. So
Bryan.
Yeah.
Maybe just lay off.
Yo, maybe stop watching kid cartoons and focus on the movie.
Kid cartoons.
So I didn't know how else to.
Yeah. That's it. That's it for me.
That's it. That's all she wrote. Bye, guys.
No. That's it for that show.
Oh, right.
This is, we're going to introduce our new segment. Are you ready for our new segment?
A new segment. Our right. Oh, yes. Okay. You've explained
this. Here we go. Here we go.
Yes.
So I'm going to quickly explain it. I explained it to Sean quickly when I got here. I bought a movie trivia game from London Drugs. Shout out to London Drugs. And I haven't looked at them, but they're all cards and they have questions on them. So I've handed out 5 cards each. Sean has 5 cards. I have 5 cards. I have Sean. We're going to ask 3 questions each. So we can choose, right? That's right. We can pick.
Yeah, we're going to pick 3.
We're going to pick 3 questions from these 5 cards. Each card has a few questions on them. We're going to choose 3.
We've got 20 questions to pick from. We're going to pick 3.
We haven't reviewed these questions yet.
This is all kind of in real time.
Real time. And then whoever gets the most questions right wins this round of trivia game. No, that's not. That's
whatever. Random generic trivia game. That's actually going to be the theme song for it from now on.
Great.
Random generic trivia game.
Great. All right, Sean, are you ready for your first one?
I am. Who's going first?
I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
What musical?
Wait, do I get a time limit? Should we do
okay.
a time limit?
Okay, let's do time
limit. Well, we'll just say, you know, hey, you've got about 10 seconds
I'll
to think
I'll get my
about.
Phone out.
Okay.
I'll get my phone.
Okay, okay. Here, and then I'll time you so you don't have to worry about hitting the timer when it's actually time to go.
All right. What? Why are you laughing?
My pun.
I didn't think it was funny.
I know. It was a dad pun.
Here we go. Stopwatch. How much time do you want? How much time do you
I think 10 seconds. Is
10
good.
Seconds? Oh my gosh.
Okay. After you've read it.
Okay. What musical won a Best Picture Oscar in 2003?
What musical?
What musical won a Best Picture Oscar in 2003? By the way, 6 seconds. 7 seconds. 9 seconds.
In 2003.
10
oh
seconds.
God,
okay, that was 10 seconds.
I'm stumped.
It's a Best Picture Oscar, and it's a musical. Most musicals don't win Best Picture.
I know.
Especially in the last 30 years.
I can't. I'm drawing blanks.
The movie was called Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago. No, I was nowhere near that.
Nope. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my good turn. Job. All right, one for Russ.
Well, that's not a good job. I'm just reading a card.
Oh, whatever.
So, bad job for you. Neutral job for me.
Oh, okay. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Here's a good one.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
In the movie, mm-hmm. The Cabin in the Woods, what does Bradley Whitford think it would be cool to see?
I don't even know what that movie is. Cabin in the Woods?
Okay.
Is that the one with...
That's not fair then. If you haven't seen the movie...
Is that the Josh Whedon one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, about the monsters that they release.
So, it's something like Aquaman, isn't it?
Close.
I
think your 10 seconds is better.
The Shape of the Water creature.
You're close.
What is that
you're
called?
So close.
Oh, yeah. It's a water creature.
I almost feel like I want to give it to you
it's
now
a water
because
creature.
It's close. A merman.
Merman.
I feel like I can give it to you.
You can give me half points. Give me half points.
No, I'll give that to you.
I figured it out.
Because that was close.
Okay, here we go.
That was close.
Good job for me.
So two for you, none for me, right?
Yeah, here we go.
Or wait, oh no, you don't get one when I get wrong. I just don't get a point.
Right, that's right.
Right? Okay, so it's 1-0.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
What 80s horror movie features the line, "They're here"?
Oh, The Exorcist. No, not The Exorcist. Poltergeist. Sorry.
There you go. They're
Poltergeist.
Good. 1 point for you. 1 full point for you. I don't think I would have got that.
But
there you go. Okay. My second question.
Okay.
Watch
a good
Poltergeist.
Not one of my favorite movies. Well, this movie would make my top 100.
Oh,
for sure.
My gosh.
What monster movie stars Kevin Bacon versus giant worms?
Tremors.
Shit. I was kind of hoping you maybe didn't like that movie as much.
Have rewatched it within the last couple of years because I don't think I shouldn't say I rewatched it. I've watched it for the first time recently.
It's a great movie. It's actually really well done. It's believe it or not. Okay, so that's 1 for me, 2 for you. So this is kind of do or die. If I get this wrong, you automatically win.
Okay.
And if I get it right, I'm still in the game.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, there's some... Okay, here we go. I'm just going to pick one. Okay. What... Oh, you're going to get this one. What Martin Scorsese thriller casts Leonardo DiCaprio as 1950s Federal Marshal Teddy Daniels?
I know the movie. I just don't know the name. Oh, God. It's the one with Mark Ruffalo. He's in the mental institution, and the whole thing ends up being in his head in the end.
2 seconds.
This is unfair. I gave you Merman, and I just can't think of the name.
Okay, just give me it's a two words. Give me one of the words.
I can't. I'm drawing blanks. No, I concede.
You said mental institution. It's Shutter Island.
Shutter Island, and still, I was nowhere. I knew the movie, but the title was. I was at a loss. Oh, good job, Russ.
Okay. Oh, I don't even get my.
Question. Okay. Let's finish it off. I'll give you a third question, right. but technically,
because if I get this question right, then I've definitely run away with it. If I don't, then it's pretty close.
Yeah. An old one.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart's only Oscar was for which movie? Casablanca, The African Queen, or The Maltese?
I was just gonna say Casablanca. That's the only one I know, but it's probably not. I'm gonna say Casablanca.
Final answer.
Oh yeah.
No, the African Queen.
Oh, there you go.
So you win 2-1. Okay. Yay! You win the first.
The first.
That was good, though.
Trivia game.
I like that.
That's fun, eh?
Yeah, that's fun. I'd like to do that again.
Yeah, we will do it again. I've got a whole deck of cards.
That was great. Let's wrap up with a little bit of stargazing. Anything other than the shows we've mentioned today on the podcast? Any shout outs to anything you want to give?
I would like to, again, sometimes I'm quite blind when it comes down to, can I say that? I'm quite ignorant when it comes down to some of those classic Hollywood movies. Mm. I just watched, probably for the first time, Broadcast News.
Okay, yeah, Holly I know Hunter. What you're talking about. I've never seen it either.
It's amazing. It's so good. It's okay. So good.
I will check it out. Where did you see it?
Crave.
Yeah, Crave's got some good old ones.
Yeah, so okay. And watched Last One Standing on Amazon Prime, the Canadian
version. I finished that one too.
It was good.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's just the last
delicious
little bit
cheese
with,
sandwiches.
Just I won't delicious say who the last two sandwiches comedians that are left on, but that it's pretty neat to
and
watch
they make
the
some
episode.
Delicious cheese sandwiches.
And I'm going to talk about, okay, Pen 15. That's another one.
Are you sure it's really Pen 15 or they're not just trying to make it say penis?
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah.
Yes, of course it is.
Of course it is.
And you got to watch Pen 15. In Canada, it's available on CBC Gem. And my wife and I are watching it together. We're a couple episodes in, but it's a LOL. Quite literally, you laugh out loud.
Okay, I'll check it out because you know what? We've watched a couple other CBC shows, which I was hesitant to at first, but ended up being ringers.
CBC's the best.
Mr. D being one of them. Yeah, yeah. And what is the one Anna my wife Gables. Likes? Housewives, I think it's called.
Oh, Mums.
Mums.
Working Mums.
Working Mums. Working Mums. And that's quite funny.
Yeah, yeah. Leah likes that one too.
Yeah. I think more geared towards the a female audience, but at the same time, it's still
good.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, it's good.
So I'll definitely check out this Pen 15.
Yeah. Not for kids. Don't let the kids in the room. Okay. And the one show I am really enjoying right now on Amazon Prime, it's an older show. But I'm going back to season one. It's Alone.
Yeah, you made references on Instagram. Yeah. What is it, a survival show?
Yeah, it's a survival show. So it's like ten dudes, women, whatever, put on the, you know, right now, I don't know if it changes as far as location, but the northern kind of west end of Vancouver Island.
So yeah, it's not Survivor where they're in a tropical island. They're in the shit.
They're in the shit. They're in the moisture shit. And they're all separated. They've got to set up their own cameras. They got to almost like document themselves. And it's very quite cool to see how people not only survive, but how they use their time, how they survive mentally. It's a big mental game, and it's quite interesting, not only to see kind of like our local climate kind of presented in this way, but also just seeing people living off the land and you know, interacting with, you know, wolves and bears.
Is it like a Survivor where you would have to watch, say, all 8-10 episodes?
Yes.
Or okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
It's got a through story and all that. It's not all self-contained.
Yeah. Each character is given like 10 items, and they get to choose their 10 items. Clothes don't count, so they can bring as much clothes as they need.
What about food?
No, they don't. They can choose.
They can bring. So they get. So you can bring through like tools and stuff.
Yes,
but you can't say, "Hey, I'm going
to
bring a
2-kilogram
bag of rice." But that's
right. No. Okay. You have to rely on. I think in season two, which I'm now on, they talked about one of their items can be like a backup bag of like trail mix.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't allude to that in season one, that that's actually something they can do. So it's really the majority of time it's just trying to survive and eat off what they can get in their camp spot. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. That and Broadcast News and Pen 15.
There you go.
Will,
what do you got for me?
For you, nothing as far as shows, but I've just been going on a lot of Western movies.
Why the Westerns, do you think?
I don't know. I think maybe because I just got my possession and acquisition license for rifles. So I don't know. I think I watched one Western movie and I started just kind of looking at all the different rifles they had. And then I just kind of kept it all up.
So this is a gun thing for you.
I wouldn't call it a gun thing. I like rifles.
I like
a little different. Anyways, whatever. So I started off with like hostiles Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to 310 to Yuma. I was doing like a bit of a Christian Bale thing. Mm-hmm. And then I went on to sort of a Ben Foster thing. So I went from 310 to Yuma to Hell or High Water. And then I saw Unforgiven kind of poke up. So I picked that. And then someone mm-hmm. recommended Open Range the other day. Kevin Costner's one of his last Westerns, not one of his earlier ones.
Yellowstone.
Yeah. And then I watched Way of the Gun, you know, Hell or High Water and Way of the Gun and Sicario, Day of the Slaughter. I say those, I don't know if Sicario would call it a Western, but definitely Hell or High Water and Way of the Gun, I would consider sort of modern day Westerns. Way mm-hmm. of the Gun being a Butch Cassidy and sort of Sundance Kid kind of thing. And Hell or High Water is just so good. I highly recommend it.
Is that the one you recommend? Hell or High Water?
Out of all these, I would say go for Hell or High Water first with Chris Pine and Ben Foster. Taylor Sheridan.
Sheridan
Universe. He wrote it. But you know, there's also a lot of other tie-ins there. So you could say maybe he had a hand in doing some producing. Not sure, but it's great.
And where would I find this?
That is only on, you better hurry up, it's on Netflix. It's being pulled at the end of April.
So you got a couple weeks.
Yeah. So just lots of Westerns.
Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water. Very, 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 very good. And I see you've got a bit of list of movie or shows that you're having a hard time finishing.
I was just gonna do.
I'll just touch base on some that I share with you. One being Ted Lasso season two. We only got about two episodes in, and then it just didn't click the same as the first season. So I'm not saying it's bad. But certainly didn't engage me enough for me to be like, oh, let's keep watching it. So other things took priority.
So this is In Memoriam. This is capturing the Oscar In Memoriam section. and this is where we talk about shows we just...
And you didn't enjoy the Ozark season 4. Or you just couldn't get into it.
I didn't enjoy Ozark season 3. But I really... I like Jason Bateman. I like all the people involved.
For sure.
I want to finish it. I want to complete it so bad, but I just not interested.
No, and I've heard that from some other people too. It started off well, and it's just been hard to keep it going because, it's great and it's dark and it's gritty, but it keeps kind of recycling the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit over the top.
But I think I'm eager for it because it's coming to a conclusion. This is one show they're not going to butcher. And it's actually concluding here.
Four-season run. Yeah,
season four, part two is about to come out.
Right. Yeah. So you're excited. You've been keeping up on it.
I'm excited because I want to see the conclusion. I want to see what...
Well, you let me know. You tell me
what happens to this family. Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. They're all going to die.
Yeah. And the Oscars were 1 week away. And I've made a couple jokes about the slap heard around the world. I don't think we need to put any more attention to that. Nope. Now let's talk about some things that maybe didn't get enough attention.
Okay.
Coda winning Best Picture of the Year. Have you seen Coda yet?
I have seen
it
Coda.
It is amazing.
It's a fun film.
One word I would describe that movie, I think I'd call it beautiful. I don't know. Was amazing. Beautiful.
I don't know if it's the best film of the year, but it is definitely a very nice film.
The movie you didn't know you needed until you watched it kind of thing. I think so. In this time of age, that's why I gave it the title of beautiful. I just thought it was wonderful. A great, great, great movie. Cried like a baby.
Aww.
Yeah. Especially that scene with the dad and her on the tailgate looking at the stars I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. So great movie. Go watch it. Grab some Kleenex. It's a good cry.
It's on the Apple Plus.
A good cry. Yeah. They're making some Apple wins best picture of the year.
Yeah, Netflix has been trying, but
that's funny. Like Apple comes in and
Apple had more money, I guess.
You think so?
I don't know.
I think as a company, Apple over Netflix probably has more money, but they're taking their tech money and investing it into movies.
Yeah, of course they are.
Right. But I think if you maybe just took Apple as a film production company.
It's still in its infancy age.
Yeah, would you still think it would? I don't know. Yeah. Well, they won.
Apple didn't create the video. Like the video was.
Did they buy it and just produce?
They bought it after like the festival. Okay. So they bought it and brought it to the world. But it was not an original Apple production.
It didn't the script didn't come through the offices of Apple TV. Exactly. And they're like, oh, we need to green light this and produce it. And no,
it was distributed.
They helped publish it or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. whatever. Yeah. They gave him a helping hand. They saw something.
Exactly.
They saw the quality in it and said, hey, we need to get this out to the world.
Exactly. I've been watching Severance on Apple.
Oh, I've heard some different things about that.
I really like it.
Ben Stiller directed, eh?
Yeah.
He's good director, eh?
I guess so. What else has he directed?
Reality Bites, which got some very, very old.
He directed the Reality Bites back in the day?
Yeah, and the Cable Guy.
Oh, what? He did the Cable Guy?
Ben Stiller directed the Cable Guy. Matthew Broderick and Jim Carrey. Cult classic.
Yeah, of course.
What else did Ben Stiller direct? He's got not many
interesting credits. Like his credits seem to be like very far, like far removed from each other. Like when you think of Reality Bites, Cable Guy, and now Severance, like it doesn't seem like he's directing a lot, you know, maybe going back and forth between.
And he's not directing movies necessarily that he would be cast star in. You know what I mean? Like, not that type of movie.
He's not a Mel Gibson.
No, he's not casting himself. And because I feel like he's, you know, he's the really slapstick, goofy character. But I don't feel those are the movies that he's making.
Yeah.
He acts different than he directs, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Kind of?
Of course.
No? He's a goofier actor and he's more of a serious director. Right. Although his movies aren't comedies, they're more dark comedies.
So he directed Zoolander 2.
Oh. Brilliant movie. So brilliant, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, he directed Tropic Thunder.
That's right. Yes. The movie was okay and pretty funny, but I think the intro in that movie when they did the mock trailers.
Yeah.
I thought that stuff was comedy gold. Well, the
Tom Cruise is iconic for sure, aspects of that. But
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, interesting. He does have, I don't know why I was going kind of ignorant on that in regards to like, how much he has directed. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's got a nice little directing profile here.
Can you say that again?
He's got a nice...
No, what you said before that.
Ignorant.
No, after that.
Directing profile?
No, it involved me. I'm...
You're right.
I like this and you like...